For now, though, we're going to talk technology with Eric Semmel. Tech Tuesday, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 on Saturdays here in WTIC. Eric and I not together today, which is very sad, but we'll get back together next week, I hope. How you doing, Eric?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, usually how it works is a bunch of stuff that's interesting to Eric, and he forwards along the stories to me, and then we talk about them. And I was curious, what is, I just want for people who hear about the term, what exactly is e-waste?
E-waste is basically any kind of electronic piece of hardware, a computer, a CPU, a monitor, a server, hard drives, any kind of component going into electronic systems is e-waste.
And historically, like, we ship a lot of this stuff over to China, and they either recycle it or dump it, right? I mean, does that still happen?
Well, not really, not as much. We try to, but there's lots of e-waste right here in America as well. We have a regular a collection we do in the fall to help people bring in their e-waste and get it out of the landfills.
So what is AI is going to have a pronounced negative impact on this?
And what there's a study that was done. Well, I mean, you need a lot of hardware to have Karen and Bob do our artificial corner that we have on Saturday mornings, right? You need a lot of compute to do that. And right now we, produce 2.6 kilotons each year of e-waste. And it's going to be cranking up to like 2.5 million tons each year in 2030. So as AI keeps getting more and more popular, we need bigger and bigger systems. And eventually, you only can run those systems for a period of time, let's say 3 to 6 years, before you got to put the next system in. And then you got to dump it somewhere. It's great if they can recycle it. But this story talks about the fact that it's going to be difficult. The biggest server out there from NVIDIA, the latest Blackwell platform in a rack designed for intensive large language model inference, training, and data processing, tips the scale at 1.36 tons. That's a big computer. We're going to have to figure out how to deal with this so we're not just dumping all these machines into landfills and we have to deal with it quick before we have a bigger problem.
So, wait, but just to, don't get mad at me, but like if it goes in a landfill as opposed to going somewhere else, what's the difference?
Well, you can recycle components. It just takes more energy and more time. So it's, again, more expense to AI, right? So you've got the AI cost of generating it, the data going into it, the nuclear power to power it, and now you need people to tear apart those CPUs and take out the precious metals and recycle it. That takes more time and energy. So hopefully it's going to be cost-effective to e-cycle it rather than dump it into a landfill.
Got it. Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk with Tab right here on WTIC 9 to 11 on Saturdays. I actually wanted to, before I go into other subjects, I'm told that Karen and Bob are getting so popular, you're doing some stuff with local TV too. Is that right?
Karen and Bob. Oh, yeah. FSB should be coming in and checking us out. doing our show. So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah. Karen and Bob I get mixed results. I had a listener say they hate Karen and Bob, but there's plenty of folks that seem to enjoy it. So we'll see how Karen and Bob do.
I think it's funny. See how they do on television. Listen, in terms of the other definition that I think is important to remind people, because, you know, we talked about what e-waste actually is. I didn't know if it was like some sort of virtual thing, like a storage thing. So it's the physical hardware was that's good enough. What about net neutrality? People throw that term around, but a lot of people, to be quite honest, don't know what that means either.
Yeah, net neutrality is something I've been railing against for many, many years. The whole idea of net neutrality sounds all warm and fuzzy, right? Treat every data packet equally, right? So don't throttle somebody's content because you want to block somebody's ideas off the internet, right? You don't want to have people have to pay more to get certain content. So the idea of net neutrality is to kind of let every packet flow at the same speed, which would be obviously when you let everything work at the same speed, it's at the worst speed, right? It's not the best speed. It's at the cheapest, lowest speed. And so net neutrality is going to cause issues as far as QoS, which is quality of service on the network. So if you think of a data packet like your car on the highway, if nobody could get on the HOV lane, right, and we're all stuck in traffic, that's net neutrality. Everyone's stuck in traffic. But thankfully, we have a high-speed lane, right, where we go over to the left. Well, high speed, it's relative in Connecticut, you know, 90.
Who holds the levers of power with that?
In this case, I think it's the FTC, right? Yeah. So it's been flipped over to the other party, and they want to make everything warm and fuzzy with everything being equal. But it has nothing to do with reality, right? You and I are able to speak on this call thanks to quality of service. Our data packets, mine, are digitally being sent over to you. If the network wasn't capable of managing my packet at a higher level, you and I wouldn't be able to have this conversation. So we need the networks to be able to prioritize service, and they're not allowed to. So they're not going to continue to work to make premium services for us, higher, faster, better quality, because they have no reason to, because they've been disincentivized thanks to these FTC rules that deal with net neutrality that's back in play. It wasn't in play for a while, and it's back in play now. So,
well, there's a handling the packet joke that I won't make here at 8:26 in the morning. So we'll just move on with Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. Microsoft and Google, Microsoft's mad at Google, and I mean, usually we don't get much empathy for either because they're so massive and successful. Well, what's going on?
Yeah, so Microsoft's getting both of these companies have decided to take the gloves off, and they're going after each other for their cloud business. And Google, you know, yeah, I agree with you. Nobody sheds a tear for either of these companies. Lots of people would say they're not even working in our best interest. But then again, that's not necessarily what a business is designed to do. When you deal with Google, the folks at Google are kind of cranky at the fact that if you want to run a Microsoft server on anything other than the Azure cloud, which is Microsoft's cloud, customers would have to pay a 400% markup to use that same software. So Microsoft is penalizing people to choose different cloud hosts, and Google is saying, this is ridiculous, which it is. And the thing that Microsoft's mad about is they're hiring lobbyists, and the lobbyists, of course, are then acting like, you know, it's not us, it's these folks over here that are upset with these new approaches. And Microsoft's like, look, they're hiring lobbyists to make us look bad. No, Microsoft, you make yourself look bad on a regular basis. So we'll see what happens with Google and Microsoft. If they both beat each other to a pulp, maybe we'll win as consumers. I doubt it, though.
You know, for years I owned Microsoft, and I wouldn't go over 30. And finally, I was like, I'm just gonna get rid of it. And now it's at 425. Every time I look at that, I wince. All right, last one here. You know, we dealt with, you know, the issues with Delta was one of the worst victims, I guess, of that.
Right.
I don't even really understand what happened, but the whole thing with CrowdStrike, where everything got grounded, it was a mess. And it seems like everyone's sort of gotten on board with how to deal with it after the fact, except Delta is still very hostile. What's going on?
Yeah, so, well, there's going to be more suits as well, but Delta finally lawyered up and hit him with $500 million lawsuit to CrowdStrike, kind of saying, hey, guys, had you just simply tested this update on literally, and I've said this on my program, literally one computer, they would have known it would have crashed instantly. So Delta saying, hey, you know, if you guys are not following normal standard practice of testing your stuff before you release it, if you had you done that, 8.5 million computers on the planet wouldn't have been impacted by this update. And I tend to agree with Delta. CrowdStrike, on the other hand, is saying, well, your systems are so old and outdated, Delta, that had you been more up to date, you wouldn't have had this issue. I really don't know how they're going to prove that, considering 8.5 million systems were impacted. It's actually more than that were impacted. So I really hope Delta does win this this lawsuit, because folks, companies like CrowdStrike really need to eat their own cat food before they shove it down our throats. And if they had just sent the update on their own systems, Brian, they would have brought themselves down to their knees rather than the entire planet.
But it's unconscionable not to test something when that's your field. I mean, I think they can both be wrong, but I mean, ultimately, if it's your business and this is your thing, you don't test it? I mean, that seems obscene.
That's the thing that's scary about how this sausage is made in IT. Yeah, I agree with you. It shouldn't be the case, but it is often.
All right, Eric, we'll be listening on Saturday. Again, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 Saturday mornings here on WTIC. Eric, have a great day. Thanks, sir.
It's Brian. Thank you.